Good morning, everybody. Today is Friday, May 19th, 2017. And this is Before the First Cup of Jewels here on UCY.TV. Happy Friday, everyone. We made it. It is an overcast, 59 degrees and more seasonal here in upstate New York. It was way too hot yesterday. So where do we leave off yesterday? We titled the show Guest Jeff Wefferson discussing dying coral, microwaves, Navy, and HAARP. And we talked about a lot of things. We had Jeff on the show. He's been on maybe one other time before from Australia. He had done an interview with Terry Lilly. This was, I believe, the fifth one he had done out of 200 episodes now. Terry has spent a good part of his life studying the ocean. He's an oceanographer, very well known, and he had found a correlation between some of the naval testing that is going on and around the island of Kauai, the military-industrial complex, and the dying coral. He has brought it all back to some of these energy weapons that we have been reading about that are now going to be the war machine of the 21st century. All this mad science gone mad, but especially the manipulation of radio frequencies. I think we're going to continue on there today. There was a story that came out yesterday, edited yesterday, but it came out on the 17th, titled Drones, Lasers, and More Ships. Admirals dream of a bigger, better Navy. Now, of course, that is what we need with the threat of all these rogue nations out there now. We need to bolster our military presence across the globe to adequately, and this is out of RT News, to adequately perform its mission in the face of global challenges. The U.S. Navy needs to expand to 350 ships and embrace innovations such as modular design, networks, drones, and energy weapons. Weren't we happy to hear that? And do it very soon, according to the top U.S. admiral. Quote, this fleet must be larger and more powerful, wrote Chief of Naval Operations Admiral John Richardson in a 9-page white paper released just this past Wednesday. We need this more powerful fleet in the 2020s, not the 2040s, he said. Titled The Future Navy, Richardson's policy document seeks to summarize the three most recent studies about the Navy's shipbuilding needs, arguing that the quote-unquote ding exponential growth of challenges, isn't everything growing exponentially now, around the world and capabilities of potential enemies such as Russia, China, and Iran, the boogeyman, demand a bigger fleet. Our advantage is shrinking, he says. We must shake off any vestiges of comfort or complacency, and let's destroy the world that our previous advantages have afforded us and move out to build a larger, more distributed, and more capable battle fleet than our executed mission. The Navy currently has 275 ships, including surface combatants and submarines. Submarines are something that we're going to talk about here. That was kind of the connecting point between the HAARP facility, which we discussed a little bit yesterday. We're going to talk a little bit more today and read a little bit of this document that I came across that maybe I shouldn't have. VLF technology, deep sea communication, and submarines. There is definitely a connection here. And then add to that the island of Kauai. Anyway, we must simultaneously build and innovate, advocating a rapidly iterative approach to improving performance for a more agile acquisition practice than the Department of Defense currently has. they are looking to order 350 ships, including 12 aircraft carriers, so that it can deploy up to 6 carrier strike groups within relatively short time frames. The Department of Defense is capable of building 29 more ships and almost 300 more airplanes over the next 7 years that the current plan envisions. And to help bridge this gap further, existing ships can and should be, ding, ding, networked better and modernized with new weapons and technologies. Artificial intelligence, automation, and directed energy weapons, such as lasers and rail guns and all kinds of other things that we've been talking about, are listed as transformative emerging technologies, and they could help the U.S. Navy maintain its supremacy of the world seas. Shipbuilders should turn to modular platforms that could easily be upgraded down the line with new weapons, sensors, and other combat systems. The core of these future ships, the hull and the propulsion and power plants, will likely be built to last for decades, with a plan from the outset to modernize the punch, that is, the combat systems, the sensors, and the payloads at the speed that technological advances allow. Designs need to be, quote unquote, aggressively to drive down maintenance and the operation costs of the future fleet, no matter its composition. Guys, they're really turning up the heat here. We have already looked at some autonomous ships that the Navy was building. They were going to be the mother ships for launching drones all across the ocean to be utilized not only as sensors that could keep an eye on things when someone wasn't around, but also to be deployed in any type of national emergency to go, I don't know, attack, surveil, destroy, underwater and on coast, potentially undetected. They also want to use AI to help them build battle plans. We looked at that a long time ago as well. And of course, directed energy weapons. They are looking at high-powered lasers and energy guns, as well as many other things. Don't rule out the electromagnetic spectrum. So my friend and I were talking yesterday, last night, and he was insisting to me that Kauai is one of the most beautiful islands in the Hawaiian island chain, and oh no, how could they possibly be militarized? And I'm like, oh no, I looked this up a while ago, and then when Jeff brought it up again yesterday, and I had listened to the Terry Lilly interview, I did a little bit more searching to find out that Kauai has actually become a very strategic island, quote-unquote, protecting the homeland from the Chinese and the North Koreans. When, I'm going to read a story here. This is out of The Diplomat. This looks like it's a South Pacific publication that deals with any of the newest news. Kauai is quietly expanding military role. This was May 4th, 2017. A testing site for weapon systems, missiles, and rockets in the middle of the Pacific. When the calm of a Sunday, December morning was shattered by the roar of Japanese Zero fighters descending to attack Pearl Harbor, and this is what they're using to sell this to everyone, it wasn't the idyllic scenery that drew them to Hawaii. It was America's military might. Well, in the 76 years since Pearl Harbor catapulted Hawaii onto center stage of America's Pacific war efforts, the island's importance to the Pentagon have only grown. Today, Hawaii hosts, if you can even believe it, 142 sites comprised of military bases and other facilities. And from its headquarters at Camp H.M. Smith on Oahu, U.S. Pacific Command oversees America's military operations across half of the planet. It is difficult to overstate Hawaii's importance to the military, and increasingly, that includes the island of Kauai. Since 1940, Kauai has been used as a military landing field, quietly cultivated as a site capable of hosting a broad range of military operations from aviation to, ding, underwater testing. And this is the stuff that Terry Lilly was responsible for getting them to move 50 miles offshore because he had proven that that underwater testing of some of those communication technologies and energy weapons were killing the coral. And lo and behold, he documented it all with a 4K camera doing deep sea diving, and he was able to prove that once they moved all this testing offshore, the coral started to spring back. As well as operations for amphibious and ground assault training, they also test cluster bombs and drones there, missile launches, telemetry, radar, and low orbit rocket launches. The Garden Island, as Kauai is known, is home to the Pacific Missile Range Facility, more affectionately known as the PMRF, which describes itself as, quote, the world's largest instrumented multi-environment range capable of providing complex and realistic training scenarios. The spokesman for the naval base said that this Pacific Missile Range facility is unique in that it can simultaneously support surface, subsurface, air, and ding-a-ling space training scenarios. Guys, I'm telling you, there's something very, very suspicious going on here. We had looked at some of the Air Force messing around with plasma bombing the sky to increase radio propagation. We found out as part of this 5G initiative that's being rolled out, that they were launching these CubeSats everywhere in low Earth orbit. They were sending them up on trips to the space station as well as on satellite launches. So who knows what is really going on, but we do know that they are looking at dropping a net over the top of us. And I'm going to draw some connections to some dots today that I came across over the last 24 hours that I actually couldn't even believe. So this facility, of course, is unique because it could do many different things, surface, subsurface, air, and space training scenarios every 2 years. The Pacific Missile Range Facility plays a role in the Rim of the Pacific, which is the world's largest maritime exercise. In 2016, U.S. Marines and three allied nations conducted a simulated helicopter raid in support of amphibious offense, defense, and stability operations. As a missile testing and training facility, the PMRF is said to be admired in the Israeli defense circles, ding. It is also valued by NASA, the University of Hawaii, defense contractors by the likes of Lockheed Martin, Raytheon, General Atomics, and Northrop Grumman. So they all love it there. PMRF was critical in testing the Aegis Ashore ballistic missile system as well as the Terminal High Altitude Area Defense, which is the mobile missile defense system deployed by on Guam and now in South Korea. It also serves as a launching ground for the Advanced Hypersonic Weapon, which is a system designed to strike a 6,000-kilometer range in 35 minutes with an accuracy of 10 meters. The PMRF commanding officer declined to comment for the story. Of course he would. It sounds like it's a brand new super secret facility that they are expanding like crazy. But the PMRF's former commanding officer told Kauai's local newspaper, quote, "We are doing big things for important people all across the globe. I bet you are. Among those things is providing a home to the Sandia National Laboratory's Kauai Test Facility, which was established in 1963 ding-a-ling, in support of the Atomic Energy Commission's Operation Dominic series of 36 high-altitude nuclear weapons tests in the Pacific. So tie this right back to some of the Manhattan Project and open-air nuclear explosions. Since its founding in 1940, the 130-acre KTF has supported at least 443 launches, provided resources for assembling, testing, and launching test vehicles on Kauai and elsewhere. Sandia describes this as a national asset that offers a laundry list of services, from weapons research and development, operational and missile defense testing, radar tracking, telemetry reception and training, as well as launch projects. Both the Sandia and the KTF also declined to be interviewed for this story. Now, they had mentioned some sort of advanced hypersonic weapon that can be launched within 35 minutes. That is a long-range glide vehicle capable of flying within the planet's atmosphere at hypersonic speed. It is called the Advanced Hypersonic Weapon, or AHW for short. The AHW technology demonstration program is managed, again, by the U.S. Army Space and Missile Defense Command, as well as the Army Forces Strategic Command. This technology was developed through the cooperative effort of the Department of Defense to evaluate a conventional prompt global strike capability for striking time-sensitive and high-value targets. In November 2011, the Advanced Hypersonic Weapon was launched from the Pacific Missile Range facility in Kauai, Hawaii, to the Reagan test site on the Marshall Islands. Well, that's interesting. I think Marshall Islands, they did a lot of nuclear testing as well, or off the coast. The glide vehicle successfully hit the target, which was located 3,700 kilometers away from the launch site, and the vehicle's flight characteristics were gathered from space, air, sea, and ground-based platforms. And I'm sure those ground-based platforms are their huge microwave antennas that they have in Kauai. The test was conducted to demonstrate hypersonic boost glide technologies and travel capabilities for atmospheric flight at long test ranges. The flight test was carried out in accordance with the regulations of the Strategic Arms Reduction Treaty, as well as the Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces Treaty. So are they saying that, like, we can literally launch nukes at hypersonic speed now? I mean, I think that's what they're saying. Hey, let's speed up our destruction. Why not? Supersonic. We are in high gear. So, do we even go on? I mean, this gets insane. In September 2016, when the Marines published notification of the proposed increase in training on Kauai, there was almost no awareness by local government officials. 6 months later, in April 2016, when asked about the training, Hawaii State Representative Dayanette Morikawa, who represents Kauai and Niihau, said she hadn't heard any news and, of course, declined to comment. Deadly crashes in Hawaii involved Ospreys, which are one of their training planes, I guess. I don't know. The Osprey is probably some sort of killer aircraft, as well as the CH-53E heavy lift helicopters. And now the Marine is planning on deploying additional Osprey squadrons to Hawaii as of 2018. Now this is where we kind of tie in to what Jeff and Terry Lilly were talking about. The waters northwest of Kauai include the Barking Sands Underwater Range Extension, where the Air Force has just announced a 5-year plan from September of 2017 to August 2022 to test long-range strike weapon systems evaluation program. That plan calls for the use of multiple types of inert and live bombs, as well as missiles delivered by bombers and fighter aircraft, and they're requesting authorization to take marine mammals, i.e. whales and dolphins, incidental to conducting munitions testing. In an email, a spokeswoman for the 53rd Wing Public Affairs Office cited the Marine Mammal Protection Act and its definition of, quote-unquote, take marine mammals. And the definition is to, quote, harass, hunt, capture, or kill, or attempt to harass, hunt, capture, or kill any marine mammal. Incidental is defined as unintentional but not unexpected. So they are literally asking now for a 5-year plan, long-range strike weapons system testing. They're requesting authorization to, quote-unquote, take marine mammals incidental in conducting munitions testing. So they're saying that, yeah, well, we might harass, hunt, kill, or capture whales or dolphins, and it may be unintentional or not, but it's not unexpected. How disturbing is that? So this is a big home to these undersea mammals, and trust me, they are going to use this stuff on us next. And it's interesting that these are mammals living in the sea. So they'll be able to see what kinds of effects some of these technologies have on them. Total of 9 species of whales, including humpback, melonhead, and minke, and 7 species of dolphins, including bottlenose, spinner, and striped, could be taken. And according to a NOAA spokeswoman, NOAA fisheries can, quote, authorize impacts to marine mammals, provided that they can ensure that the activity will have a negligible impact on the affected species. So don't worry about it. There's plenty of dolphins and whales in the ocean still. You can blow a few up, see how you can track, bag, and tag, and then target. I just couldn't even believe this. I mean, Hawaii. This is Hawaii, guys. This is like one of the most beautiful places in the world, albeit very expensive. I had a boyfriend, my rocket scientist boyfriend in college. His dad retired. His parents got divorced. His dad retired, and he took his severance package, and he packed up and moved to Hawaii, figuring he'd be doing the happy life on the beach with an umbrella drink, watching young honeys and native women dancing around in grass skirts, but it didn't quite turn out that way. He discovered very quickly that life on the island of Hawaii was extremely expensive because everything has to be shipped in on a ship or an aircraft, and it made things cost a premium, so he had to go back to work. And a good thing that he had a hobby as a scuba guy, because he started giving scuba instructions to finance his retirement. Shout out to Charlie. Charlie actually passed away. Oh, I don't know. He probably had a good 10 years in Hawaii, but Charlie had a massive heart attack and passed away in Hawaii, which was extremely, extremely sad. He was quite a good gunky. Anyway, so back to this. So who would have even thunk it? Hawaii has now become, and it probably always has been, at least to Pearl Harbor, an important part of the military pie, but it is now becoming a high-tech magnet for this new 21st century military technology, not only for the Navy, as you would expect, but also for the Air Force and some of the other branches of the military. We had started covering a document that came out of a conference back in 2014 titled From PsyOps to Neurowar, What Are the Dangers? And this document had covered a lot of the different technologies that we had talked about, using radio frequencies across the spectrum as weapons to not only manipulate our mind, but also manipulate the atmosphere, manipulate matter itself. Some of the different damages that they could do to us. We had looked at some of the different things on the body, and I don't know if we're going to deal with the body stuff today. Maybe we'll go back to that after. I got a story to end the show today that'll take us right back into biology for Monday. But we'll talk about some of the directed energy weapons. This is a very broad class of weaponry, and yes, as we've been finding out, and they've been going crazy with this, which includes any type of weapon that uses energy for producing a weapon's effect. They'll call these non-lethal weapons, but remember, they can always turn up the dial to make them lethal. Most importantly, these would be lasers, high-powered microwaves, high energy radio frequency weapons, as well as sound or acoustic weapons. And what is special about directed energy weapons is that their weapons effects are generally scalable from lethal to non-lethal. Like I said the other day when we started this, there was a big push a while ago for the military and the police forces to start developing and implementing quote-unquote non-lethal weaponry. And I'd even question that. Like, it was all in the press for a while, and then all of a sudden it got real quiet. You didn't hear much anymore about non-lethal weapons. The taser being one, but we know tasers can take people out as well and actually short-circuit the neurological system for a short period of time. Although much of the directed energy weapons research is secret, especially when it comes to what they call anti-personnel directed energy weapons, and that is exactly what it sounds like, there are a couple of weapon systems that have been presented to the public and that are currently operational. For example, we have the active denial system, which uses microwaves at 95 gigahertz. To create a burning sensation on the skin over a distance of at least 300 meters, and it can force hostile crowds to disperse. So look out, people, protesters coming to a protest near you. And I thought we even read a story where they may have been using some of that active denial system already. Similar is a long-range acoustical device which uses directed loud sound that is painful over hundreds of meters. And there are also anti-personnel directed energy weapons that are, up until now, hypothetical. A frequently cited declassified Army document that summarizes research into biological effects of non-lethal weapons indicate that microwaves could be used for transmitting sound directly into the brain. And that's called the Fry effect, but that was that voice of Allah weapon that we had already talked about. It can also cause pain or death when the brain is targeted, ding, ding, due to the thermal effect of the microwaves. Yeah, they're going to cook you right in your little encapsulated skull. Electromagnetic waves may be used to disrupt an enemy soldier's nervous system. It can cause epileptic seizures. It can cause their body fluids to warm as if they were inside of a microwave oven. Guys, this is what I'm saying. This is where this is tied to Kauai and Terry Lilly's research of these high-energy weapons that they're using underseas and the damage that it's doing, that he has shown that it is doing to the coral reef. And now they're looking at using these high-energy weapons on humans and ubiquitously in our atmosphere as part of the 21st century strive to have full spectrum dominance. Guys, this is very dangerous what is happening right now. And we keep focusing on little facets of this huge spectrum of things that's all coming at the very same time. I mean, I have no other description for this but apocalyptic. This is going to damage life on planet Earth beyond anything we have ever imagined. From every aspect of life. and remember, first, the other thing is, too, there is a war going on for these technologies. It's not just us that are developing these. The Chinese, absolutely. The Russians, absolutely. Rogue agents, I am pretty sure. Guys, this is going to be a complete and utter mayhem insanity of the future once all this stuff gets out there. And it's sippy cupping out right now. A frequently cited declassified Army document that summarizes some of the research into biological effects of non-lethal weapons includes that microwaves could be used for transmitting sound into the brains or causing pain or death when the brain is targeted due to the thermal effect of microwaves. John Moreno, this researcher, claims electromagnetic waves may be used to disrupt an enemy soldier's nervous system. And they found in 1980s animal experiments with directed energy weapons that there was a promise in terms of affecting mental states and the animal's behavior. Now, guys, this is what we've been looking at. We looked at gut bacteria and that direct connect to the brain, but there is also radio frequency spectrum that can be directed and used to manipulate our mental states and our behavior as well. Add to that, the robots coming to take all the jobs, AI moving at an exponential pace into the business world. And 50% of all Americans not having an income in the future, potentially receiving universal basic income and getting bored, little Johnny. They're going to have to find a way to do that. And on top of that, the neurological surveillance line item 399S of the 21st century. CARES Act passed in December of 2016. And you start to see the entire picture of what is going on here. This is all going to be used against us. And we paid for it, too, which is even better. A voice of God weapon that projects voices directly into the head of individuals in support of PSYOPs could be possible, he stated. This declassified document also documented that it is possible to induce motion sickness, nausea, disorientation, as well as seizures through stroboscopic dazzling lights, and that is called the Boutcha effect, or to also produce similar effects using just acoustical or radio frequencies. Ding, ling, 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 ling. So they could make that with radio frequencies and potentially even ones that are out of our hearing range, like some of that sonic effect we read about in the microwave range as well. What do they have at Hawaii? Oh, huge microwave antennas, yes. Analyst James Duggan claimed that there are, quote, radio transmitters that jam and short circuit the human nervous system. This will temporarily disable people that these radio beams are aimed at. And in the future, it might be possible to influence the moods and the mental capacities of the individual it's aimed at using the electromagnetic spectrum, which includes the passive, peaceful, riotous, or any other desirable behaviors. Now, we found out DARPA was really into researching brain chemicals and how to manipulate those, how to hit that vagus nerve right next to the ear. Can't help but imagine a directed radio frequency beam hitting it right next to your ear, right where they're targeting the vagus nerve to influence some sort of brain reaction. But wait, didn't we see a story about little mousies getting a laser shot onto their skull that was able to turn on their killer instinct, where their mouths started to chomp uncontrollably and they attacked anything in its way? Oh, yes, they did. Yes, they did. Put on a seatbelt, people. Not all neurological weapons need to be of physical nature. We've talked about this quite a number of times. All started with Edward Bernays and Century of the Self. Some might just be information that has been designed to manipulate your behavior. And yes, remember 2013 NDAA authorized propaganda on the American public. Or it could be some sort of software that hacks a neural device or an implanted chip. And we talked about that a few days back as well, that once they start rolling out lots of these different brain-computer interfaces for connecting ourselves to the cloud 24/7 and making us a part of the conglomerate where we could share our thoughts, we could just think and be on the internet, we could upload our thoughts to the cloud. We also have to be wary of security and the lack of security that currently exists on the Internet of Things. But don't worry about it, because they're working on that. DARPA's working on shape-shifting immune system for the future Internet that will include us, our brains, and even our guts and our bodies and our blood, all as nodes on the network. DARPA, and we talked about this program, has within its Biological Technology Office, more affectionately known as the BTO, a neuroscience-based project called Narrative Networks. And we discussed that with Annie Jacobson. We heard her interview. We talked about that again a few days ago, where they have been tinkering with L-Ruteroy and the manipulation of oxytocin, that trust chemical, and to be able to spin narratives or stories like humans have from the beginning of human history, to be able to get people to buy in to a story or to a way they want to manipulate the behavior of society. And that is what is happening right now. Embrace the machine, people. This dangling carrot, we're going to cure you. It's going to be happy. Do it for the good of all humans. It will save the human race. That's how they're going to sell it. This project called Narrative Networks by DARPA aims to, quote, understand how narratives influence human cognition and behavior, and then apply these findings to international security contexts. Yeah. International meaning propaganda through the State Department that's now authorized on the public in America as well. The context to national security is to understand why certain narratives are believed and others are not, and how narratives can support terrorism, right? Like the truth movement. The truth movement, those people who are trying to spin the quote-unquote fake news. Those are the dangers now to this new society we are trying to create. Those truth tellers, damn them. We need to find a way to get them to buy into our story. The used methods include research into how the brain responds to certain narratives, and then the development of computer models of how narratives affect individuals and their social networks. Ding. Such research can be used to make propaganda, hello, or psychological operations more effective, and to also undermine the propaganda of the adversary. This is where this whole fake news narrative spins into the story. This is why it's so important that Trump is in the White House right now, and they are labeling him as the king of fake news. This is why these very occurrences are coming into play. They just threw a bunch of aces on the table, and they're playing them all. And guys, they all intermesh. This is part of a larger story than just fake news. This is spinning into how they are going to transition us to accept this whole new crazy mad science 21st century world as the way that it's going to save not only democracy by putting someone like IBM Watson into the seat of president and doctor and lawyer and Ordnance Radio Spectrum Allocator and everything else. Of course, that Radio Spectrum Allocator that on the other end is going to have you as one of the Internet of Things as part of 21st century medicine. But also, it's how they're going to, quote unquote, save the human race. Guys, this is beyond, beyond insidious what is happening. Full spectrum dominance to the microbial level. Military information support operations already intersects with cybersecurity and cyber operations because of the existence of online communities and social networks through which information spreads and through which people can be influenced. And yes, we already knew that they had agents working in social media and in chat rooms to spread their propaganda. But once neural devices, like all the different brain-computer interfaces that we have read about, but probably most importantly, Elon Musk. I'm pretty certain that Elon has got his little hands in the cookie jar with DARPA, and DARPA kind of handed him off that little Stentrode device that they have been working on that goes right up inside like your carotid artery in a syringe. And it goes into the brain. It's like this little meshy thing. It's going to be able to connect you 24/7. Yeah, pay attention to those. Or Regina Duggan, remember too, another direct connect to DARPA at Facebook. We talked about her on Wednesday at the Building 8. And they are now going to roll out through Facebook brain-computer interfaces that allow you to type on your keyboard just by thinking. That will allow them to get many, many people globally on board. And DARPA's rolling out an RFP to get someone to develop a $30 EEG so we can have them in every school and every home to be able to read your brainwaves. Guys, this is all connected. It has to be. I don't see how, now that we're seeing these dots, all these puzzle pieces are going click, 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 click. And I'm seeing a really big, scary picture that's got big glowing eyes from the clouds. I'm starting to see the collages from 25 years ago that I made. If I showed you guys what they looked like, you would be really scared because it foretold a lot of things that are happening. They were all dystopia, all crazy. I had DNA strands and spaceships and all this nutty stuff. And when I look at them now, they never meant anything much to me except they were cool and lots of pretty colors. But when I look at them now, I see snapshots of right now, this period of time. And I go, oh my goodness, it's happening. Because this is not a dream. This is not someone's science fiction fantasy. I have not read too much science fiction in my childhood or seen too many movies. I'm now looking at research documents and presentations that scientists have been giving and things that they're talking about funding in the lab. This is actually our new reality. Once neural devices become more common and they are connected to computers, they could easily be hacked like any other piece of electronics. But the difference being that it is not just the correct functioning of an external device that's at stake any longer, but also the functioning of the minds of the user. Let DARPA and Google into your mind. We will keep you safe. Oh, you need a software upgrade there, Johnny. Microsoft has to get in the back end as well. 2995 qubits. Or we're going to take you offline. A hacker of neural devices could alter an individual's brainwaves, moods, mental state, or the capacity of the user. And they might even take control of a user's body through a brain computer interface to perform an unintended action. Wink. Where have we heard that before? Such hacking of neural devices, and they can even do it with energy weapons. And we found out earlier in this story, such hacking of a neural device and thus a user could even permanently rewire the brain of that user or quote unquote brainwash them. Less technologically sophisticated methods of mind hacking are imaginable. Malicious software might attack the minds of the user by manipulating the flicker rate of the monitor and displaying subliminal messages on the screen that cannot consciously be perceived. And although the effectiveness of subliminal messages has often been dismissed, neuroscientists have found indications that subliminals do, in fact, work in the sense of somewhat affecting the behavior of the people who have been exposed to them. The term neurowarfare has been used for several years to broadly describe the military utilization of neuroscience and technology, but from current literature, three different aspects of neurowarfare can be distinguished. They would be neurowarfare as a neuroenhancement of your own personnel that allows them to perform better in terms of cognitive abilities and decision-making. We found out it's exactly what DARPA is doing right now to create the perfect soldier. Number two, neurowarfare is getting inside of the head of enemies for interrogation and strategic intelligence using neurotechnologies, and we found that as well. They could suck thoughts out of your head and implant memories and all kinds of things. All in the name, of course, called curing PTSD. Don't think they couldn't use it to go after quote-unquote enemies for quote-unquote interrogation. And number three, neurowarfare enabled methods for influencing enemy behavior much more directly than mere psyops. The ongoing academic debate on the potential future role of neurotechnology has already led some commenters to suggest that the brains are becoming the new battleground. The mind, or quote-unquote neural space, they call it, could soon emerge as a new distinct and most likely final domain of warfare after they have conquered the land, the sea, the air, outer space, as well as cyberspace. And I think that pretty much sums it up. And this story, guys, this goes on for 17 pages. I'm not going to continue, but please, if you haven't read it, read it, because there is a lot of information there. We'll hit little bits and pieces maybe over the next week. But we have already found out that Russia may already be developing what they are calling a quote-unquote zombie gun. Are we ready for the Russian zombie gun? This is out of Forbes magazine by David DeSalvo. And I don't see. April 4th, 2012, if you can even believe it. Strange, alarming, morbidly intriguing. Any or all of these would serve to describe the newly announced quote-unquote zombie gun that Russian President Vladimir Putin plans to use for, quote, achieving political and strategic goals, unquote. His words is quoted from the UK Mail Online. This concept is not new. For some time now, military technologists have been working on weapons to incapacitate the enemy by attacking their central nervous system or damaging their internal organs. Extremely high doses of microwaves could stop somebody's heart from beating or disintegrate his eyeballs, for example. Oh, lovely. Glad he mentioned those. We didn't quite get that out of the last document, but we did find out it could cook your brain inside its skull. And actually introducing such weapons to the combat zone, or perhaps against dissidents. Ding, ling, 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 ling. Well, that might be new. I stress might. Lower dose microwave weapons might have already been used in Russia for crowd control, and some claim they've also been tried out in other venues. Remember, we dug up some stories back from the Gulf War and Donald Rumsfeld with General Myers being asked by, I don't remember her name, the chick from CBS News, whether or not they had been using some of the directed energy weapons in Iraq already. Quoting from the Mail Online, quote, plans to introduce super weapons were announced quietly last week in 2012 by Russian Defense Minister Anatoly Serdokov, fulfilling a little-noticed election campaign pledge by President-elect Putin. Mr. Serdokov said the development of weaponry based on new physics principles, i.e. directed energy weapons, geophysical weapons, wave energy weapons, genetic weapons, ding, psychotronic weapons, and so on, is part of the state arms procurement program between 2011 and 2020. I'm wondering who they're procuring these weapons from. The more insidious design, just one among the list proposed by Suryakov, is a weapon that could theoretically render someone pliable or even drive them insane by directly attacking their brain. This is the weapon most appropriately described as the quote-unquote zombie gun, for obvious reasons. And if the weapon can short-circuit the executive function capacity of the brain, then it is plausible that the targets would become silly putty or possibly revert back to a primal state and eat someone else's brain. Oh my God. I don't doubt these claims by Putin and company, nor do I doubt that similar weapons haven't already been used on a trial basis. Considering last year, a gentleman on our shores made an eyeball-burning 1 kilowatt microwave laser gun out of a microwave oven. Well, I'm sure it won't be long before Mattel has one ginned up for the kids. So put that in your pipe and smoke it. So how frightening is that? We are going to end with a little excerpt from a book published in 1998, yes, I said it, titled The Mind Has No Firewall by Timothy L. Thomas. The human body, much like a computer, contains a myriad of data processors. They include, but are not limited to, the chemical electrical activity of the brain, the heart, and the peripheral nervous system. And back in 1998, they really didn't know a lot about the enteric nervous system. We discussed that as well. That is the vagus nerve, direct connect from the gut to the brain for making chemical signaling. And it connects to all your major organ systems. But it's direct chemical, electrical activity of the brain, heart, and the peripheral nervous system. The signals sent from the cortex region of the brain to other parts of our body, to the tiny hair cells in our inner ear that also process auditory signals, and that's where we heard that voice of God weapon, to the light-sensitive retina and corneas of the eyes that process our visual activity. We are on the threshold of an era in which these data processors of the human body may be manipulated or debilitated. And examples of such unplanned attacks on the body's data processing capability are well documented. Strobing lights have been known to cause epileptic seizures. And not long ago in Japan, children watching TV cartoons were subjected to pulsating lights that caused these seizures in some and made others very sick. So I wonder if that cartoon thing, remember when that came out years back? They're like, oh, it caused seizures. Wonder if that was an experiment. I bet it was. Defending friendly and targeting adversary data processing capabilities of the body appear to be a big area of interest and a big area of weakness in the U.S.'s approach to information warfare theory, which is oriented heavily towards system data processing and designed to attain informational dominance on the battlefield. Ding, 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 ding. So I was right. It would appear from information that's out in the open, unclassified press. But U.S. shortcomings may be a serious one, since the capabilities to alter the data processing systems of the body already exist. A recent edition of the U.S. News and World Report highlighted several of these quote-unquote wonder weapons with acoustics, microwaves, and lasers, and noted that scientists are searching the electromagnetic and the sonic spectrums for wavelengths that can affect, quote, human behavior. This is 1998, people. A recent Russian military article offered a slightly different slant to the problem, declaring that humanity stands on the brink of a psychotronic war with the mind and the body as the focus. This article discussed Russian and international attempts to control the psychophysical condition of man and his decision-making processes by using VHF generators, noiseless cassettes, and other technologies. An entirely new arsenal of weapons based on devices designed to introduce subliminal messages or to alter the body's psychological and data processing capabilities might be used to incapacitate individuals. They aim to control or alter the psyche or attack the various sensory and data processing systems of the human organism. In both cases, the goal is to confuse or destroy the signals that normally keep our body in equilibrium. All right, guys. Well, I think that's where we are going to try to wrap this up. Energy-based weapons, psychotronic weapons, VLF, ELF. Add to that some of the stuff that is going on at HAARP with DARPA and the military. And they just announced yesterday NASA space probes have detected a never-before-seen human-made barrier that is shrouding the planet Earth. What? Yes, yes, yes. Apparently, we have a VLF bubble around the planet now, and they say that it was created accidentally, but potentially on purpose. Remember, VLF is how they communicate with submarines, but it also includes some of the spectrum that is the human mind. So don't let them fool you that this was by accident, because I don't believe it is. It is very intentional. If we connect a few more dots, you'll see. All right, try to have an awesome Friday. Make sure you stick around for lots of